I mean, it's you just don't even know. I can't explain to you how excited I am. I can't express enough how much it means to me to be able to come back to a church with people that are like-minded and be able to do what God's called me to do. My voice breaks up a little bit. Bear with me. But I want to share something with you tonight. Wednesday night, or tonight was a week ago. We was in, got the privilege to go and speak at a youth night. That's what I'm looking for, a youth night. And praise God, no glory to me at all, nothing to do with my testimony, but everything to do with God. There was two teens that got saved, you know, you can go to churches that won't do that. I always thought it wasn't true. I always thought that was crazy, that people wouldn't clap or say amen or even give you a head nod when you say that somebody's got saved. But that's true. And that's why I'm excited to be back here tonight, because I just want to share a testimony with you. I just want to tell y'all a testimony, most of all to praise God for. But not just to praise God for, but to build up the church. And not just any church, but this church. I want to tell you, I was telling BJ this yesterday. I'm just so excited to tell you about this. God's just had it on my heart. And I was telling BJ about it yesterday. And and I told him that I would like to, at some point when God allows it, to be able to tell my testimony about the year that I had my wreck and being saved. And that's not this testimony. It's completely different. It's completely different. But it's still a testimony. It's what God took me through. And now that I guess you would say I'm on the other side of it, on the good side of what happened, I am thankful for what I went through. I'm thankful for this church. And I just want to build the church up tonight. Just want to say some good things about the people that are sitting in front of me. I was in the midst of a meeting with a few different pastors several years ago. And I was young in the ministry and was getting to just soaking in some knowledge. And an old man, I mean, an old, way, way wiser than I am, we was talking about those hellfire and brimstone type messages. You know what I'm saying? And he just very, very quietly, ever so slightly said, "Well, boys, I tell you, the sheep don't always need shearing. Sometimes you got to let them grow and build them up." You know what I mean? So tonight, that's what this is about. Growing and building up. And I just want to thank this church for everything that you've done for me. But I want to share a scripture with you. 1 Corinthians chapter number something other here. Chapter number 2, verse number 1. And if you will, stand for the reading of God's word. I'm standing with you in spirit. But Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father God, and I praise you for allowing all of us to be here tonight, Father. Lord, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you'll touch each and every prayer request that was mentioned, and even those that were not. I pray, Father God, you touch the ones that could not be here tonight. Touch Brother BJ and pour out to him as he's with his family, Father God. Lord, I pray, Father, right now in the name of Jesus that we that you just pour out your Holy Spirit in this place, Father. I pray you touch each and every soul in here. I pray, Father, you sweep through here tonight, Father, like never before. I rebuke Satan in Jesus' name. We want all evil spirits to be gone. They have no place on God's property. And I pray, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that you will just purge the world out of this place, Father. And I pray that you soften hearts and soften minds, Father God, and just allow me to be used as your mouthpiece. Hide me far in the shadows of the cross, and let not I be seen, but you only, Father. Let not the words that I say be from me, but God, I pray that they come solely from you. Lord, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. So, again, tonight, just a little bit of a testimony. I wanted to read that scripture right there to show you that Paul said he did not come with enticing words and so on and so forth. I think one version, I believe the NASB says that I do not come with some type of good speech. That's me in a nutshell. I don't have big words to share with you. I don't have good speech to share with you. I can't jump up and down and do jumping jacks. That was supposed to be funny. But I wanted y'all to know tonight that I come just simply in the name of Jesus to share something with you that God brought me through after I got saved. After I become a pastor, or a minister, preacher. After all these things. I mean, I have been saved for 5, 6 years. 7 years or something like that. I don't remember. When I came to this church. But, anyways. Just want to brag on God and the church. And maybe, I just feel like, because I've been so... I mean, my mind has been so clouded with this all week, well, 2 weeks, that I believe somebody in here is going through something similar, okay? But I'm going to read some scriptures, and the first one, I want to do it just a little bit different tonight, if you will. I want y'all to read them with me. And there's one word that I want to really enunciate. That's a big word, ain't it? Enunciate? Can anybody in here spell it? Because I can't. y'all start laughing later. Anyways, John 3:16. I want to really stress the word love. And if you will, read it with me. Or just quote it. Most of you can quote it, I hope. Only begotten Son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love is what I want to talk to you about tonight. Love is what this church did for me in my personal life, in my Christian life. Love is what was shown to me by God when I was undeserving. When I was in the bottom of the bottom, God reached down and picked me up and made something out of me, and I'm still a work in progress. But this church loved me despite of me. God loved me despite of me. When the church that I was at prior to, a lot of you may not know, but I was assistant pastor there. And things happened, just circumstances and whatnot, and God led me away from the church. And I was so confused, and I didn't understand why. I didn't want to leave the church per se. I didn't want to leave from there. I was comfortable there. I knew everybody there. That church loved on me too. You know, they was there with me through my wreck. They was there with me in hard times. I mean, these people come to the hospital with me and prayed for me and prayed with me. And the pastor there is my best friend in the world. And I mean, it was just, I didn't want to leave. My dad had just passed away. I had a lot of things going on. My emotions were a wreck, you know. And I was just, again, like I was just an emotional wreck. I didn't want to leave the church. But God pulled me and my family away from it. And we were visiting different places and going here and going there. And I'm not trying to at all, not in any shape, form, or fashion at all. Am I trying to down any church that we went to? Because we didn't have a bad experience anywhere. But I'm going to say a name here, and he's not going to remember this conversation, I don't think. But I called Brother Kevin McDaniel. I had passed him. We live over close to each other. Do you remember us talking? Oh, he does remember. Look out. But he's lying in church. Nah. No, I'm kidding. I had passed him, and for whatever reason, I hadn't talked to him in several months, so for whatever reason, I called him. I don't even really know why, but I called him, and we just got to talking, and I kind of told him the experience that I'd had, and we had left the church, and we didn't know where to go. We was going to this place, and we was going to that place. We was visiting here, we was visiting there, and there was all these things that was just, you know, we just didn't really just settle nowhere. Does that make sense? Okay. Well, simply put, Kevin said, well, you come down there to Union Chapel, them people will love on you. That's what he said to me. And I was like, huh. I've never been invited to church that way. I've been invited to church and people say the pastor does real well. I've been invited to church and people talk about the singing's real well. But I've never been invited to church and somebody tell me, the people will love on you down there. So we came. We was in the little building. We was in the other church. You know, it's littler than this. But we was in the other church. Y'all was in another church, I guess, at that time. We joined when we come over here. But was in the other church and started coming. And one Sunday morning turned into a Sunday night. And one Sunday night turned into all three services, you know. And just really enjoyed the people that were here. We fit in, you know. I mean, it just, you know, I felt like people were truly loving here. And Wednesday night, I think it was a Wednesday, it was a Sunday night. We went out to church there, and I was going to the car. BJ run me down, tapped me on the shoulder. And we all know BJ, he's high strung, to say the least. And I felt like he was yelling through my skull, telling me, we're going to Broken Lives Thursday night. Would you like to go? Well, yeah. What do we do there? You know? And I kid you not, this is what happened. Okay, he said, I think Heath and Whooper and Eric's going to go. So, okay. I called him the next day. I'm not lying. I called him the next day. And I said, you sure you want? I said, who all did you say went? I think that's how the conversation went. But he said, Whooper. And I said, that's the one I want to ask you about. Who's he whooping? That's what I asked. And, of course, we laughed, you know. But I got to go to Broken Lives that night in a Toyota Highlander with a wheelchair. Brother Eric, Whooper, Heath, and BJ went. Okay. Brother Wolf brought his guitar. We had no room in this car, okay? And I wasn't fixing it. I was just going to drive. I didn't know they was all going to get in with me. I was just going to drive. But they all got in with me, and I'm the youngest one of the bunch, I was proud to say. But we get in there, and we got Whooper sitting in the middle there where there wasn't a seat in the back, okay? You know, these Toyota Highlanders ain't got a whole lot of room, boys. I'm telling you, me and Eric crunched up here in the front. All right, you know, he's taller than I am, but I'm still fairly long. I ain't tall no more, but I'm fairly long. But, you know, we're talking, and it was just a good time, okay? I was listening, doing a lot of listening, trying to figure out, because they all knew each other. I didn't know nobody but BJ. Didn't even really know him. And I'll tell a story on him. We all followed BJ to the judgment house, right? Everybody was giving BJ heck about how fast he drove. Okay, all right, well, we was going down there, and I was putting along. I was trying to take my time. I drive with my hands. Some people may not like that, okay? But I'm going down through there, and I didn't want to make nobody uncomfortable. I don't like doing that. Plus, again, I'm trying to respect my elders. So, it's the truth. I'm trying to respect them. But anyways, BJ, getting antsy, you know, high strung, he says, he wasn't talking, he talked to everybody, but he said, boys, we're going to have to go, we're going to be late. I said, well, buddy, if you can ride, I can drive. He said, drive it. All right, then. So we went on. And when we got there, he got out, first thing he says, praise the Lord. So, BJ needed everybody getting on to him about driving fast the other day is what I'm saying. But in that night, going that night, we got to go to Broken Lives, and I had a good time there. Friendships were formed. Heath is one of my closest friends that I have now. Whooper, every time I see him, you know, we see him at church, and I say, everything going good? And he says, not as good as you look, or something like that. You know what I mean? And now he started pushing me up the ramp. One day we're going to both fall. It's going to be a wreck. It's going to be funny. Just telling y'all. But I'm just saying that by going to church here, God made an avenue for that night. He made a friendship. He made friendships out of that night. And it drew me to this church, knowing that not only do people, you know, nobody's walking around with their nose stuck up in there, but also, I mean, I can be honest here, right? So, I mean, nobody's walking around with their nose stuck up in there. Everybody knows those type of people. Nobody's doing that here, you know? But I just seen a group of people in a church that was unified and was willing to help people. And then I get to hearing about the mission trips. And everybody's excited. I haven't got to go, but everybody's excited to go on a mission trip. And there's just so many things that I can't even hit on all of them tonight. And I promised I wasn't going to take long. But I'm telling y'all, I'm excited about this. It tickles me to death, and it makes me happy to know that I'm at a church of loving people, God-fearing loving people that put God first. First Corinthians, chapter number 13. We're going to start with verse number 2. If you're reading a King James Bible, it says charity. Well, charity, by definition of the Bible, in a biblical definition, is I didn't write it down. But anyways, it's basically love. You can Google it. Google knows everything, right? But charity is just another word for love. So tonight, as we read this, or as I read this, you don't have to read it with me, but when we get to the word charity, I'm going to say love, and I want the whole church to say love, okay? If you don't want to say love, there's the door. I'm just kidding. It's just a joke. And though I had the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not, I am nothing. And though I bestow all goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not, it profit me nothing. There you go. Love suffereth long and is kind. Envieth not. I can't say that word. Somebody say that word for me. There we go. Not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. Love never fails. Love can endure all, and it will always be there. God will always love you. It doesn't just have to be that the church loves you. God loves you. We're not a loving church because Kevin said so. We're not a loving church because we have a great pastor and his wife. We're a loving church because you put God first. We're a loving church because I cannot speak for you, but I can tell you, the Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. I can tell you that the majority of you spend time with God throughout the week. You put God first. Back to the testimony part of what I was saying, when I started coming here, my dad had passed away. I was going through a lot of emotions. I was sore about it. I was mad. I was mad at the world. I could feel myself slipping into what I didn't know I was going into. And come to find out, I was in a darker place at one point in my life after I started church here than I ever have. And here's the part where I want to be just blatantly honest with you, okay? And this is the part where I think some people may be going through. I was so mad that I didn't feel part of this church at one time. I realized, the reason why I'm telling you this now is because I realized I was wrong. I realized it was me blocking it out. I realized that it wasn't the church not accepting me. It was me not accepting the church. It was me not accepting love. It wasn't the church. It was me the whole time. I went through the darkest point of my life. I never knew, church, that somebody could have the thoughts that I thought. Never, not one time. I've heard people talk about depression, and my whole life I always thought people that thought about suicide had to have been just a little off, tilter. And maybe I am, but those thoughts crossed my mind. I mean, I was in a depression that I didn't know existed. And I had pushed the church. We went into COVID, and then we can't come to church, and then we had Zias, and of course, we're going to use every excuse you can not to come when you come here, you know, and it's convicting you. You know what I mean? You're going to have every excuse you can have not to come. So I used a baby for that excuse. Didn't come, but periodically. And then, well, we was preaching here, preaching there, and didn't come this, didn't come that. And then I ain't going to sit here and lie to you. There were some Sunday evenings I went fishing. We just didn't come. And the whole time, me and my wife was thinking and talking, and maybe we need to leave, but there was never another church that we needed to go to. Every time we pulled out of the driveway, this is where we came. And it wasn't because this is where we planned to come. This is just where we came. It's just how the truck had memory. You know what I mean? It just knew how to get here. I'm just saying. And this whole time, up until, not the whole time that we was here, but I'm just saying, this whole time that I went through that particular part of my life, I thought that it was me not being accepted. Well, if I can go, and I'm being honest, okay, I'm being honest. If I can go preach somewhere else, I wasn't being asked to preach here, but there was a reason why. There was a block there, and it was on my behalf. I'll tell you this, I even called BJ at one time, and me and him had a conversation, and I felt like we had this lengthy conversation. I'm not going to tell his story because I don't really remember all the details. But about the time that he was going through what he went through a year and a half ago. Y'all remember? Y'all remember him telling about it? About the time he was going through that was about the time that I was coming out of what I was coming out of. And I was starting to realize, it was about 2 years ago, I was starting to realize that I was the problem. And I rededicated my life, and I started trying to strive for what I used to strive for. And I started trying to put in things that I used to have going on. And I realized that God didn't leave me. I left him. I realized that I walked away from him, and he was still back over here going, I don't know what you're talking about with his hands up. I'm still here. Why are you over there? And this whole time, I had every excuse I could come up with. But it was my fault. And I'm a big person on taking accountability for things. I try to be. And then I realized, when I started realizing that it was all my mistake. And my mindset that had to change. That's when I was like, light bulb. This church accepted me when I didn't accept it. This church was still talking to me when I didn't care nothing about it. God put Heath in my life for those times when I was broken and didn't know which way to turn, for him to just randomly call. I hadn't talked to him in a week or so, and him just randomly call and say, hey man, what's up? Not no glory to Heath at all, and he knows that. Me coming here is no glory to Kevin McDaniel at all, and he will say that too. It's all glory to God for it. But the church was part of it. So, in going through all of that and being a part of all of that and going to churches, and again, I'm not speaking bad on no church that I've been to, but it's always good to come back to a church that you know accepts you. If I got up here and stuttered through a message, if I got up here, like, y'all know I can't read that well. I mean, ain't nobody going to say nothing to me about the word that I couldn't say a minute ago. You know what I mean? Maybe nobody else will say it at another church either, but I feel like they're going to judge me just a little bit. Like, why we got this dude up here preaching? He can't even read. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not a whole lot of churches are going to take the time to pick me up and put me on the stage. I'm not going to trust a whole lot of churches to do that neither, because if they drop me, I'm going to be mad. We're not going to be preaching. We're going to be talking. You know? You believe this or not, and I didn't until just recently, but there are churches that won't laugh the way that we laugh. There are, and I said it before, but there's churches that aren't excited about people being saved. But this church is. And I'm not saying all churches are that way. I'm not. Because there are. There's churches that there's churches all over the counties. There's in this 40, 50 mile radius right here that love the fact that people are being saved. They do. But this is my church. Y'all are my people. And I hope y'all consider me the same. And it's just amazing that we come and we come together and you can laugh and you can have a good time. But not just laugh and have a good time. There's not many churches that have an altar full. And I'm not talking, like, full to some churches is 3 or 4 people. I'm talking about full. There's some Sunday mornings I don't come up here because I know I'm going to be in the way. That's the truth. And I mean, that's another excuse on my part. I'm just saying, as far as my situation, okay? I'm being real with you. But there's so many people up here praying for one another, loving on one another, hugging with each other, crying with each other. And I'm sure that, you know, there's friends throughout this side and friends throughout this side and whatever and back and forth. And maybe y'all send letters. I don't know. But I'm just saying that we communicate throughout the week, right? You have people that you talk to throughout the week within the church, right? You love one another. And tonight I want you to know, that if you're here and you're not saved tonight, there's no greater time than now. But not only if you're not saved, but if you are saved tonight in this place and you've been coming to church and maybe you feel out of place, maybe you feel like this isn't the place for you, and maybe it's not. You need to seek God in that. But I can tell you one thing, that the people here will love on you. I can tell you this with 100% certainty, that no matter what you do, no matter what church you go to, if you're looking for the perfect church, it's the imperfect church. It's imperfect as soon as you walk in the door. Think about that for a minute. It's no longer perfect as soon as you get there. The only way this church is perfect is if all of us leave and Jesus shows up. But I come to service Sunday, and we don't get to come a lot. I preach different places a lot, and I thank God for that. But sometimes it's just nice to come back to church, come back home. Again, be with like-minded people. Get to see people that have a smile on their face when they see my ugly mug, you know? I mean, get to, you know, somebody that's going to push me up the ramp, you know what I mean? Get to hear BJ and make fun of him about how he wants to dye his beard, that kind of thing. It's good just to come back and be around friends, you know? I'm going to leave you with this. God has blessed this church above most that I have ever seen. The new building that's coming up. God has blessed this church. And we all know that. And it's a hot topic here. JD spoke on it Sunday night and talked about it. And it's true. God has blessed us beyond measure. But if we don't put God first, the blessings could end like that. Why did the devil get cast out of, why did Satan get cast out of heaven? Pride. Am I right? If you get in self about what's going on here and about the lives that are being saved and the baptisms and the building, and if the building committee starts talking about I this and I that and we did this or we did that, it'll all come crumbling down. Church, I'm charging you this morning or this evening. I'm challenging you to say, keep God first. I want to give you one last scripture, and in saying that, I want to give you one last scripture, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 14. Let all things be done with love. Putting God first and loving the people that come through those doors. I said that tonight, and I'm saying this now because the people that are here tonight, you hear BJ say it all the time, the people that are here tonight is the core of this church. You're here Sunday nights. You're here Wednesday nights. You're here at the potlucks. You're here for the festivals. You are the core of this church. If you are here tonight, you are considered the core of this church. And you are the ones that have to keep God first. You are the ones that have to continually love on the ones that walk through those doors. Sunday morning, when this whole place will be full, and you will just be a part of the crowd. You'll not be the core of the church, you'll be a part of the crowd. And when these people, when I say these people like they're outcast, and I don't mean it that way, God knows my heart, okay? So don't take it like that. But when people come into this church, they're expecting something. And if the core is not prayed up and keeping God first in everything that you do, then they're probably not going to get what they need. I can assure you this. I have whole confidence in this. The message that we will hear Sunday morning, I'm going to speak BJ. The message that we will hear Sunday morning will be prayed over, it will be thought over, it will be thought through, and it will be God-led. I think everybody can agree with that. If BJ or JD or Hagen or Jake is in this pulpit, it will be prayed over, it will be thought over, and it will be God-led. The question is, will you be God-led? That's the question I want to ask you tonight. You showed me love, and you show people love, and you love people despite of people. And I am so proud to say that Union Chapel is my local body church. But there's also a continuance. You have to continually seek God. Austin, it don't just stop with getting baptized. You know? It don't just stop with getting the Right Hand of Christian Fellowship. It don't just stop with telling somebody God bless you, or continually in prayer, continually seeking. So tonight, if you're here and you need prayer for something, we're going to have an altar call. If y'all don't care to come up, we're going to have an altar call. And I can assure you that if you come to this altar searching for something, God's going to provide it for you. If you come to this altar needing love tonight, these people that are here tonight, I know will love on you. And if they won't, I will. You can sit in my lap if you want to, and I'll hug and cry with you all you want. God is in this place. And you have got to a place tonight that you have got to a spot tonight where you're not going to be any closer. The best chance for you to be close to God is right here. The world's not here. Other people aren't here. It's just you, the people that love you, your local body, and Jesus. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you and praise you, Father God, again, for this opportunity to be in your sacred pulpit. I pray, Father, that you just bless these people. I pray, Father, you bless this message and let it not return void. I pray, Father God, that you pour out conviction and you touch the hearts and minds of these people. I pray, Father, if anybody here needs prayer, that they come forward. They don't wait till tomorrow, wait till tonight. I pray, Father, that there be one here lost, that they they come to find you tonight, Father God. I pray, Father, that there be one here backslidden or sin sick, Father, that they understand that tonight's the night for healing and just to come back to you. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and I thank you for this church. I thank you for everything that you do in this church. I ask you to continually just pour out blessings in this place and on these people. Lord, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.